Hello, fellow law nerds. Welcome to another special SCOTUS episode of Boom Lawyered, a Rewired.News podcast hosted by the legal journalism team that is on a work retreat in the middle of the woods and is likely to get kidnapped by some weirdos. I'm Imani Gandhi.
And I'm Jess Piclo. Rewire.news is dedicated to bringing you the best reproductive rights and social justice news, commentary, and analysis on the web, and the Team Legal podcast is part of that mission. So a big thanks to our subscribers, and a welcome to our new listeners.
If you're a new listener right now, I have to give you props, because this is a really, really bad episode to be a new listener on. Primarily because we now know who our Supreme Court justice nominee is going to be. And who is it, Jessica?
Brett Kavanaugh!
Brett Kavanaugh, come on down! You're the next contestant on We're All Fucked. But seriously, Jessica, what does this nomination mean? What does it mean for the American people?
Well, it means that our rights are squarely on the line. We have a conservative judge with decades of experience ruling against civil rights and for corporate power. And when we have a Supreme Court with issues like, can your boss fire you for being gay? Or does Title VII of the Civil Rights Act cover you transgender employees from employment discrimination?
Or does Title IX?
Right. Will we even have a right to an abortion anymore? Right. These are all questions that Judge, maybe Justice, Brett Kavanaugh is going to be set to answer.
And so what does it mean for Brett Kavanaugh? Let me rephrase. How pissed is Merrick Garland?
Oh, yeah. So let's give a little quick bio on Brett Kavanaugh. You know, Trump had done some posturing that said he didn't want any of the hoity-toity Ivy Leagues, and yet he managed to find probably the most establishment conservative Republican candidate on the court that he could come up with. Kavanaugh came up through Georgetown Prep School as high school. He went through Yale. So he is as dyed-in-the-wool traditional conservative institutional as you can get. He's also been on the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals for a long time. And during the Obama administration, the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals was one of these success stories. He placed several judges on the bench. And that's important because many of the cases that the Supreme Court hears comes up through the D.C. Circuit. So this means that Trump gets another pick on the court that hears cases. And so the pipeline is coming more and more conservative.
So the courts are really becoming more and more Trumpy, you could say.
They are.
And considering Merrick Garland should really be on the bench, mm-hmm. and now he's watching one of his colleagues be elevated to the bench, mm-hmm. I kind of feel like Merrick Garland and Hillary Clinton ought to get together and just get wasted. Just annihilated.
Yeah, it would, you know, probably do them both a little good. And I mean, I think, you know, too, the idea that we have, you know, I had said it would be very Trumpian to pick Amy Coney Barrett to be the judge to overturn Roe v. Wade. He could call it feminism. It's I love ladies so much. This feels also pretty trolly, right? Like, what better way for the reality TV president to really stick it to somebody than to pick somebody's coworker, basically, for the job that you had ripped out from underneath you.
Right. And another way that it feels trolly, I have to say that I am glad that he didn't pick a woman, because I really was not prepared to have to deal with, you know, conservative women yelling at liberal women, progressive women about how we're not feminists because we don't support this particular woman, because they don't seem to understand that feminism isn't about supporting every single woman, but it's about equality. But, you know, they're never going to get that. But I also have to say it's a little bit irritating. Already the sort of zeitgeist in the media about Brett Kavanaugh is that he's this moderate and he's like a nice guy and he's a good pick. And it's mm-hmm. sort of, it's very Gorsuchian, Gorsuchian, if we could coin a term, which is to say that, you know, he seems like a pretty decent guy. He seems like he's kind of moderate. And if Trump were to pick Kavanaugh as opposed to Amy Coney Barrett, it would mm-hmm. be kind of a, you know, a nod to the left or to Democrats that he's willing to be reasonable. But is Brett Kavanaugh really that reasonable?
No, he has a 5-star rating from the Heritage Foundation, from the Federalist Society. You don't actually get to be a shortlister and be a moderate. That's just not how it works.
And also, I would have to say that his refusal to to check executive power is going to be a big bonus for Trump, but a mm-hmm. big problem for the rest of us who would like to see this corrupt administration be called to account for its crimes, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And these are all open questions that the Senate, if it does its constitutional duty of advice and consent, will actually dig into. And that's a big if.
And so can you explain to our listeners who don't know what advice and consent is, what that is?
So the next stage is basically the dog and pony show, mm-hmm. right? So mm-hmm. The Senate, in a functional democracy, goes through the process.
It's sad that you even have to say that.
Goes through the process of seriously investigating the record of the nominee and holding hearings and actually diving into that record. What we've seen, though, is that that's just not how it works. And already with some Democratic senators saying they're just not sure if they're going to, oppose him or not, this idea that somehow Kavanaugh is the safe bet for Republicans is nonsense. They more or less have a veto-proof ability to get any nominee confirmed. So this is just more gamesmanship and more playing of the press, which we've seen from this administration.
And so I guess the big question that I'm sure is on a lot of people's mind is, just how screwed are we when it comes to Roe v. Wade?
Right. And so, you know, I think of this as sort of the spectrum of screw. We have Amy Coney Barrett, who out of the gates was very clear, said, forget this. Roe is done. I don't believe in any of it. There is no constitutional right to privacy. It was even on record as saying she's willing to be loose and flexible on precedent. A Barrett nomination would have sent a signal that they were going for the whole shebang mm-hmm. Right out of the gates. A Kavanaugh nomination, I think, says that they're still going for it. They're just going to be trickier about it. Kavanaugh, for example, in the Garza v. Hargan case, the case of the undocumented minor who was trying to get an abortion in ORR custody, she had gone through all of the processes and everything. Kavanaugh wrote a dissenting opinion that effectively would have, had it been adopted, not only made it impossible for anybody in government custody to get out to get the reproductive health care that they need, but also tacitly adopt the idea that these folks don't have full constitutional rights. And Imani, you've written about this. This is a real thing that conservatives are going for, right? Attacking the constitutional personhood of immigrants.
Right. Yeah, it's quite problematic and quite insidious, I would say, mm-hmm. this notion that immigrants don't have constitutional rights. Now, obviously, they don't have the full panoply of rights because immigration law is sort of its own beast. But when it comes to equal protection under the law, when it comes to specifically, especially due process under the law, the Constitution covers persons. That's persons, not citizens. And the framers knew the difference between persons and citizens, right?
Right.
The Equal Protection Clause, the Due Process Clause applies to persons. The Privileges and Immunities Clause applies to citizens. Mm-hmm. So it's a real, it's really insidious and pernicious to make this argument that immigrants don't have a constitutional right when Americans have that constitutional right. And I want to say that it seems to me what you're describing is sort of a fast burn, like we're going to lose Roe right away, tomorrow, or a slow burn. Mm-hmm. And the slow burn seems to be more like, okay, so states are going to start enacting more and more restrictive laws, more trap laws, more admitting privilege laws, laws requiring abortion clinics to retrofit themselves like hospitals.
Right.
And then those laws are going to be subject of litigation. Mm-hmm. They're going to go to the Supreme Court. And then this court is likely to say what?
Right, likely to uphold them. So another example that we have that are working their way through the appellate courts right now are D&E bans, right?
D&E bans, dilation and evacuation bans for those who don't know the term.
And so that is one of the most common forms of second trimester later term abortions, and many states are trying to outlaw them. Our legislative tracker, go to rewire.news. We've got all of that there. Those state laws are really going to be the focus now, because the test is going to be just how far can they stretch that Casey line. So it's less about overturning Roe v. Wade specifically, which a Barrett nomination had on the targets, and more making Roe v. Wade meaningless and abortion legal in name only.
Right. And so, you know, as we wrap up here, I think that's probably one of the key takeaways, is that we don't necessarily need a court to overturn Roe v. Wade explicitly in order to decimate abortion rights in this country. And so if you hear people talking about Kavanaugh so moderate and he's like, whatever, he's great, he's fine, blah, 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 don't buy it. So that's it. That's us for Boom Lawyered again. I know we've said this before. We said, I think, what, a week ago that we were going to take
a break? 2 weeks ago? 3 weeks ago? What is time anyway?
It's a flat circle. So, you know, we're going to take a break for at least 3 hours. Yeah. And we'll be back with you in the morning. No, just kidding. We really are going to try and take a break. We're on a work retreat right now. We're actually recording our very first episode in person.
Hi!
So I'm looking at Jessica right now, and that's very exciting. But please, you know, join us on Facebook in our Boom Lawyered group. Mm-hmm. Hit us up on Twitter. I'm at Angry Black Lady. Jessica is at Hegemommy, H-E-G-E-M-O-M-M-Y. And we also have our database ninja in the room. You can't see her because it's an audio medium.
But let's give it up for Bree real quick.
Give it up for Bree Shea real quick. And yeah, we'll see you on the tubes. Stay positive if
stay
you can.
Stay positive.
Stay drunk, be good. Maybe.
Yeah. And, be kind.
Be kind to one another. Peace out.
Boom Lawyered is created and hosted by Jessica Mason Piclo and Imani Gandhi. Nora Hurley is our producer, our executive producer is Mark Folletti, and the Rewire.news editor-in-chief is Jody Jacobson.